And turn to Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3 had many different passages that I'd considered using as a launching pad for the message tonight. But the title of the message tonight, Family Rules. Family Rules. You know, let's read our scripture and we'll pray and I'll get into some introductory thoughts and we'll get into the message. But tonight's message will really be more of a Bible study. And we got a lot of scriptures that we need to look to and we need to read. Ephesians chapter 4, and look at the first three verses. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you were called, with all lowliness and meekness and longsuffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Let's pray and ask the Lord's blessing on our time together. Father, I pray that your Spirit would minister to us. Father, I pray that you'd protect my mind and my heart from distraction. And Father, that every word spoken would be a word directed by your precious Holy Spirit. Father, I pray that you would speak to our hearts. And Father, help us, Father, to see. Help us to understand this idea of belonging. Father, help us to see our place within the body of Christ and the responsibility that we have to minister and to be ministered unto, to love and to be loved. Father, I pray that you'd help us by your grace. In Jesus' name we ask these things. Amen. You know, the Bible makes it very clear that when you and I are saved, we become a child of God. And every single Christian has been placed into the family of God. Think about that. Think about that. God is your Father. You know, we preached a little bit about it this morning. You know, do you have that family resemblance and the love of the Father? Is that seen in your life? But God is your Father. But understand that that's not the only family relationship. Boy, you know, this last week getting together with family and cousins and aunts and uncles and my goodness, it's just so many different relationships. Well, in the family of God, there's no aunts and uncles and cousins, but there is brothers and sisters. And there's no nieces and nephews because God has no grandchildren. If you're saved, you are a child of God. And all of us are brothers and sisters in Christ. You know, there's an old saying, you can choose your friends, but you can't choose your family. You know, that's true for the family of God as well. You know, when you come to Jesus Christ, when you realize that you're lost and hopeless without Christ, and you come to Christ through faith, you become a part of His family. You don't get to choose who your brothers and sisters are. When you trust in Christ, every other person who has also trusted Christ, that God has birthed into His family, is a brother or a sister in Christ. You know, we choose Christ. We choose to be a part of that family. And, you know, I was thinking about this. You know, when I chose Kathy, I didn't necessarily choose all of the, you know, in-laws. You know, it was just a package deal. They came right along with Kathy, and you know, I didn't interview the sister-in-laws and the brother-in-laws and ask them if they wanted me or if I even wanted them to have a family. They came as a part of the family, and every Christian has been placed into the family of God, and we have brothers and sisters, and we have and enjoy those family relationships. But I want to say this also, being a part of a family comes with expectations. You know, there are certain things that are necessary in order for the family to work. There are certain responsibilities, there are certain obligations. Certainly there's a level of commitment that is necessary for a family to work. Any organization, you know, there has to be commitment on the part of individuals. When people can just walk away from a relationship, when there are no ties to that relationship. God is never going to accomplish what He plans and purposes to accomplish in your life through that body relationship, through the church, if you're not committed to being a part of the church. And, there's a certain level of give and take in these relationships. And in order for the relationship to thrive and to continue, that there are expectations. You know, and for this reason, God gives us family rules. Family rules. At our house, we had come across this years ago. And perhaps you've seen something like this. Maybe anybody even have family rules posted in your house? And nobody? Well, we have this hanging in our house. And in this house, we always use kind words and share. In this house, we dream big and have fun. In this house, we create memories. In this house, we smile and laugh a lot. In this house, we say sorry and forgive. In this house, we share big hugs. In this house, we keep promises and tell the truth. In this house, we do family and love. You know, some family rules. And, you know, there have been more than a few times that I've had kids go read the rules and remind themselves of some of the expectations that we have of them in our home. See, but I want to remind us that God has some expectations. You know, as His children, He has given us in His Word these responsibilities, these obligations, these ways that we are to interact one with another. We looked at one this morning. We love one another. But that phrase, one another, it's two words in English. It's one word in the Greek, aleon, and it is used exactly 100 times in 94 verses in your New Testament. 47 of those verses are giving specific instruction to the church, and 60% of those even come from the Apostle Paul. And so tonight for the message, I want to run through, I think, about 25 of them, and I want us to look at God's family rules. What are these one another's that God has for us as a part of His family? Well, I've tried to take these and put them in order so we won't be jumping around too much and we can find them a little quicker. But let's go back to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, and we'll start there. Romans chapter 12. We read this morning in the message, but I had another comment or two I wanted to share. Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, verse 10. Would you read it with me, please? Ready? Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. Be kindly affectioned. You know, that word affectioned there describes that affection that a mother has to a child. You know, it's really something that not in every case, but even you can see in the animal kingdom. You know, the way a mother of a species will interact towards its young, and that care, and but not just affection, it's kindly affection. It's to show that affection and to delight in showing that affection. You know, this loving a Christian brother and loving a Christian sister and with that affection of that family relationship and delighting in that. He says in be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love in honor preferring one another. So the second family rule is that we are to give preference to one another in honor. Give preference to one another in honor. You know, so often we end up a little bit jealously eyeing one another and comparing ourselves to one another. And the Bible reminds us that comparison is foolish. To compare ourselves among ourselves is not why. No, we are to prefer one another. Not like, James and John, when they're competing, they're trying to see if they can get those seats at the left hand and the right hand of the Son of God, arguing about who is deserving of honor. No, we're to give preference. You know, as Christians, we honor. The Bible tells us that. Give honor to all men. You know, here in this passage specifically, the honor is for our fellow believers. But why would we give honor to our fellow believers? Well, they've been created in Christ, in God's image. There are brothers and sisters in Christ. We're going to be spending eternity with each other. And every single person who is here, every single person that God brings to the Allen Baptist Church, to this body of Christ, has something that they contribute to the body of Christ, and they can bless the body of Christ in that way. And the Bible tells us, as such, we are to prefer one another in honor. So, family, rule number two, give preference to one another in honor. Next, look at verse 13, Romans chapter 12, verse 13. Read it with me, would you please? Distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. So we are to contribute to one another's needs. Contribute to one another's needs. You know, it's interesting. One of the first things we learn about the early church was their willingness to give, to meet each other's needs. You know, the very first offerings that we find being collected and given weren't to send out missionaries. It was to relieve the widows. It was to care for one another. And so, before the great persecution, before the disciples were scattered, we find them giving and giving sacrificially. You know, it comes from our culture. We're, in the day in which we live, we're trained to look to the government. And anytime there is a need, we don't tell our brothers and sisters about it. We ask the government. And yet the Bible is very clear that you and I are to distribute to the necessity of saints. So that's number three. Number four, turn to Romans chapter 15, verse 7. We are to accept one another. Accept one another. Romans chapter 15, verse 7. Would you read it with me, please? Ready? Wherefore receive ye one another as Christ also received us to the glory of God. We're to receive. We're to accept one another. You know, I love that because, when God adds to this body, we as a church body are to receive them. Without even intending to, we can, before or after the service, we can meet with the folks that we enjoy talking to or that we have things in common with, and those that God has sent are left by themselves, left alone, and we're not making them feel accepted. You know, if we're not careful, we can make the church like a fraternity. You know, these fraternities that have hazings. You know, we gotta, you know, almost make people grovel, and they've gotta hang around week after week after week before we take notice of them and realize that they're there and start getting to know their name and communicating with them and sharing God's love with them. No, the Bible tells us they don't have to prove how bad they want to be a part of our group before we accept them. We are to receive them. Wherefore, receive ye one another as Christ also received us to the glory of God. Next, Romans chapter 15, verse 14. Romans 15, verse 14. Let's read this together. And I myself also am persuaded of you, my brethren, that ye also are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, able also to admonish one another. So the next family rule is that we are to admonish one another. The word admonish means to correct, to warn. And as believers, we have the responsibility of watching out for each other. You know, understand that each one of us has a perspective, sometimes of experience and things that God has taught us, sometimes the knowledge of the scriptures, and in love and gently we are to admonish. And Paul writes that. Paul is convinced. And again, I want to remind us that Paul has not been to the church at Rome at this point, and he's writing to these believers, but based on the things that he has heard about them, he is absolutely convinced of their ability to admonish one another. The criteria here, he said, you're filled with goodness and you're filled with knowledge. You know the Word of God. You know, you understand spiritual truth, and you don't have an agenda. You want nothing more than what is best for the other individual. And so you are able to and should admonish one another. You know, but understand that if we're to admonish one another, every single one of us needs to be, I don't think this is a word, but admonishable. You know, when somebody comes and shares their concerns with us, is that received? Is that just blown off? Do you get frustrated or aggravated or even angry that someone would try to speak into your life and to share that admonishment with you? See, we are to admonish one another. Turn to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. Well, I need to hurry. Galatians chapter 5. Look at verse 13. Galatians 5:13. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, read that last phrase with me, but by love serve one another. By love serve one another. So what is God's family rules? We are to serve one another through love. You know, Paul in this passage has been speaking about Christian liberty, and he's done that in many different places. And Christian liberty, Paul makes the case, it's simply an expression of love. Paul in his epistle to the Romans, he says, listen, if you're not walking in Christian liberty, you're not walking charitably. You don't have charity. You're not walking in Christian love. And we are to, by love, serve one another. And it's so important that we consider and we see and serve one another. Look at Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6, verse 1. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. In verse 2, bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. You know, we are to restore one another. Restore one another. Have you ever heard the phrase, the Christian army is the only army that shoots its wounded? You ever heard that? You know, this idea that a brother falls and instead of helping him back up, we begin our attack. And we deepen the wounding and further the damage. You see, you know, and again, we don't have time tonight to deal with this fully, but understand that for every brother and sister, our goal is restoration. Restore such an one. Restore such an one. And under grace, we don't bring the harsh judgment against offenders. And again, I'm not talking about a brother who is walking unruly and as someone who is sinning presumptuously. But understand, when a brother falls, we are to restore him. And that should be our goal. Restore one another. In verse 2, he tells us another rule, we are to bear one another's burdens. Fulfilling the law of Christ, fulfilling the law of love, we bear one another's burdens. You know, as a brother faces failures and temptations and trials and testings, we don't stand off and criticize. We don't like the Levite and And the scribe who, in Jesus' story of parable of the Good Samaritan, you know, we see a brother in need of help and we just kind of look the other way and pass by on the other side. No, we run to them. We should run to the side of a brother in distress. Run to their aid. Seek to help in every way that we can to help to bear their burdens and fulfill the law of Christ. Turn over to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 4. We read this just moments ago. Ephesians chapter 4. Look at verse 2. Ephesians 4:2. Read it with me. Ready? With all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love. Forbearing one another in love. We are to show forbearance to one another in love. You know what that means? It means we put up with each other. We put up with each other. You know, understand the reason we put up with each other is because God puts up with us. And, you know, God puts up with me. You know, my wife puts up with me. My family puts up with me. You guys put up with me. You know, we need to put up with each other. We need to show that forbearance and with so many of the difficulties and challenges that we face, we forbear one another in love. You know, love covers a multitude of sins and the Bible makes it clear that we cover those in love and we show that forbearance in love. Look at verse 32 of this chapter, Ephesians 4:32. Another great verse. Maybe you haven't memorized. Would you say it with me, please? And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. So, several things here, but first we are to be kind one to another. Kind. Kind. You know, it's interesting how the world has caught that phrase, and I've seen the slogan, and in a world where you can be anything, and we don't live in a world where you can be anything, but they presume such. In a world where you can be anything, be kind. You know, kindness is so vitally important. Now again, love is kind, but as Christians, we love. There, sometimes we're going to have to correct or admonish. We've already gotten to talk a little bit about that, but understand that love is kind. Love is not unkind. Love is not mean or thoughtless or cruel. You know, Paul, as he's writing about love in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, he reminds us of that. Charity suffers long and is kind. And so often we could be kinder with our words, kinder in our dealings. And listen, kids, you need to be kind. To show God's love to your brother, you must be kind. Say, kids, say that with me, just that first phrase, and be kind one to another. All kids, ready? Say it with me. And be ye kind one to another. And I want to remind us, it's not just for big people. That's for little people. And all of us need to be kind. God's family rules, be kind. Be kind one to another. And he goes on, be kind one to another, tender-hearted. Tender-hearted. You know, how important it is that when others go through difficult circumstances, we have a tender heart. You know, we see ourselves in their situation. You know, we commiserate with them. You know, how calloused we can be. You know, there have been times I've caught myself in conversation as people share their burden or their heartache, and then I'm trying to contribute to the conversation, in my own way, almost as if I didn't hear their cry of pain and suffering. You know, we need to be tender-hearted. And I want to remind us, oftentimes, that's one of the reasons God takes us through the fiery trials. So we can be tender-hearted. So we can understand the difficulties that others go through. And God can then, after He breaks us and tests us, He can then use us to show His comfort to others. Be kind one to another, tender-hearted. God's family rule is to be tender-hearted. Be tender-hearted toward one another. Turn over to Philippians with me, would you please? Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, look at verse 3. Philippians 2, 3. Another great, great passage. Would you read verse 3 with me? Ready? Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Let each esteem other better than themselves. You know, God's family rule is that you are to be humble toward one another. To be humble. You know, some of these family rules are about our actions. Some of these family rules are about our attitudes. We need to be humble. You see the fault lies in the fact that it doesn't have to lie in the fact that we think ourselves better than them. It could just be we're filled with ourselves and we're not considering them, and we need to humble ourselves. We need to humble ourselves and have that meekness and lowliness of mind that our Savior wants to teach us. We need to be humble toward one another. Look at verse 4. Verse 4. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. See, God's family rule, God's rule for His children is you are to look out for one another's interest. Now, again, that's not going to happen naturally. Naturally, you mind your things and I'll mind my things, and yet that's not what the Word of God is telling us. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. You see, I want to remind us, this is a work of grace in our hearts. To be concerned about others, to live for others. Charles Meigs wrote the poem, Others, Lord, yes, others. Let this my motto be, help me to live for others, that I might live like thee. God's family rule is to look out for one another's interests. Turn over to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. Several verses, so many of these have multiple references I have written down here, but Colossians 3:13, God's family rule, we need to forgive one another. Verse 13, Colossians 3:13, would you read it with me, please? Ready? Forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. You know, how important if the family gets together that there be no rifts within the family. Well, those offense, those slights, those slights coupled with unforgiveness, coupled with an unwillingness to let it go. There's that wall. There's that division. There's no fellowship. And as Christians, we are to go to one another. We already talked about forbearance. The idea of forbearance lends itself to the idea that you don't take offense, that you just, for His sake, we put up with one another and we don't take offense. And forgiveness lends itself to the idea of we don't hold on to an offense if it happens. And we are to forgive one another. And how? Why? As Christ forgave you. How did Christ forgive you, my dear brother, my dear sister? He forgave you completely. He gave you full and free. And that is how you and I are to forgive one another. Forgive one another. Colossians 3, let's read verse 16. Verse 16, let's read that together. Ready? Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. We're to minister to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. You know, how many times has my heart been blessed by music and listening to others sing, and and sometimes even when I myself am not in the mood to sing, and yet to hear someone else sing a song, to bless psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, and to use these abilities, these gifts, these talents to be a blessing to others, and the Bible instructs that so clearly. We minister to one another, and we teach, we admonish one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. You know, but he says also that we teach one another. Teach. You know, that's an interesting thought, because I don't think that every one of us here tonight would consider ourselves to be a teacher of the Word. You'd say, well, I've not been specifically gifted for that ability, and yet God's family rule says that we are to teach one another. Teach one another. You have an obligation to instruct and to teach, and it doesn't have to be in a formal sense where you're, you know, the adult class instructor, the youth discipleship instructor, but you do have something to share, don't you? You know, but before you can teach, how does the verse start? Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. See, before you can give, you have to receive. You know, that, of course, when we use the word rich, we automatically think of money. You know, before you can share money, you have to have money. See, before you can share the Word of God, you've got to have the Word of God. God has given us His Word. It dwells in us richly. And then we can share it with others. We can teach others. You see, that this, you have to receive before you can give. And the words of Christ have to mean something to you before you can share it with others in a meaningful way. And listen, this is a problem if you find spiritual conversations awkward. You know, if people want to talk about spiritual matters and you're ready to change the subject, you can talk about sports and politics and current affairs and the news, but you'd rather talk about anything and everything other than spiritual life. No, the Bible says teaching. God's family rule is that we, as His children, teach one another. We all, A-L-L, all have something to share. Something to share with each one of us. Take your Bibles and turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Two more pages and we'll be done. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Look at verse 11. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 11. Read this with me. Ready? Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. And verse 14, as this verse also speaks of comfort. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. God's family rule, next, we are to comfort one another. Comfort one another. You know, it's interesting there in verse 11, he says, wherefore. You know, anytime you find the word wherefore, therefore, it's always because of what I've just shared, this. You need to do this. You need to understand this. And he's just shared about the coming of the Lord. And he says, now, because of this marvelous truth, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. You know, the Lord is going to return. Even so, come Lord Jesus. And the Lord could come today, and we're going to spend eternity together. You know, if we're going to spend eternity together, we can comfort each other today. And this week, we should be more willing to, if the Lord is, it could come today, these are the last days, and we need to comfort each other in these last days. You know, I was talking to somebody yesterday, and somebody who calls himself a Christian brother, and I told him, I said, listen, you need the encouragement. You need to be in church. You need the encouragement. I need the encouragement. And we need to encourage each other, and it's not time to draw back or live in isolation. And so much the more as ye see the day approaching. We need to comfort ourselves together because the Lord's coming is near. Comfort one another. He also says in this verse, we are to edify one another. Edify one another, even as also ye do. And of course, the edify there means to build up, and they're to build up each other. And listen, that should be our purpose. Our purpose should always be to build up a brother or a sister and to strengthen them and to strengthen their faith and to help them grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to build them up. And that word edification used all throughout our New Testament, and that should be our goal. God's family rule, build one another up. Build one another up. You know, it's so easy to tear down. You know, the Bible talks about that in the book of Proverbs. A fool tears down. Anybody can tear down. But God wants us as His children to edify one another, to build up one another. And young people, boys and girls, you need to be building up each other. Now, you don't have to tear down each other. You don't have to say something mean or critical. You need to build one another up. Build one another up. Look at verse 14. Again, let's not read the entire verse. He says, support the weak, be patient toward all men. Next rule I have listed here for God's family is we're to be patient with one another. Be patient with one another. You know, it's only natural that people irritate us. They irritate our flesh. They get under our skin, and you and I have been commanded to be patient, to show grace, to have grace, to be long suffering with their idiosyncrasies, and we need a work of God to accomplish that in our hearts and lives. We need to be patient with one another. Hebrews chapter 10, our next reference. Hebrews chapter 10. Verse 24, would you read it with me, please? And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Verse 25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another. You see, verse 24 tells us, let us consider one another. You know, next one of God's family rules is you need to consider. Consider. We're never going to provoke unto love and good works unless we first consider. You see, some of these commands we have to be ready and on the spot. We need to have the right attitude so that in that very moment we can please God and we can obey the instruction that He's given us in His Word. But there are others that are more intentional. We need to consider one another. You know, we're not going to provoke ourselves to love them, to do good works, unless we consider their need. If all we're considering is ourselves and our schedule and what we've got to do and our financial situation. And no, we got to think about it. Listen, we are never going to help each other unless we first consider one another. See, God's family rule is you need to be thoughtful. You need to consider one another. 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1, our next verse tonight. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 22. And I've got many, many references here on loving one another, but I wanted to share it from this particular verse. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 22. Would you read this with me? Ready? Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently. I love that. See that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently. So much could be said about that. So much has been said already. But God's family rule is that as His children, we love one another. Look at chapter 3, 1 Peter chapter 3. Look at verse 8. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 8. Ready? Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous. You know, as Peter is writing to these believers, he says, he's reminding us of the importance of that unity. We mentioned it a little bit from that passage there in Romans chapter 12 this morning, but how important it is that we possess this unity. Be of one mind. And again, that's not uniformity. We don't have to act like each other. God made us all unique and we're wonderfully diverse, but understand that we have to have one mind. There has to be one faith. There has to be one hope. There has to be one love. And this unity is so vital if we're going to accomplish anything for the kingdom of God. We, as God's children, must be of one mind. So God's family rule is possess unity of mind toward one another. And then he says, be pitiful. We've talked a little bit about that. Notice that last word there in verse 8. Be courteous. Courteous. That's an interesting word. You know, the idea there is treat others with that mixture of love and respect. It's obvious that our culture today is so coarse and the common courtesy is just a rarity in our culture. And yet we as God's children aren't to look like the culture and act like the culture. We are to be, say it with me, courteous. Courteous. Never rude. Never coarse. Never vulgar. In our words, in our actions, our goal is to put others at ease and to show them courtesy. Our last family rule. Look at chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 9. Verse 9, read it with me. Ready? Use hospitality one to another without grudging. We need to be hospitable. Be hospitable one to another without grudging. You know, and obviously our times, our culture is very different. But again, we need to seek as our goal the fulfillment of this passage. God commands that His children be hospitable. You know, and again, hospitality, showing biblical hospitality is different than entertaining. You know, entertaining, the focus is on the host. Well, the house has to be spotless, the food well prepared, the host must be, good natured. And yet, hospitality isn't focused on the host, it's focused on the guest. Hospitality is meeting their needs. That they have a place to stay, that they have sufficient food, a listening ear, and that they're received. That is the listen. Hospitality doesn't need an immaculate house and the finest of foods in order to take place. You know, hospitality can take place where canned soup is the meal. Hospitality can happen where the guest is helping to do chores with the host and their work, they're laboring together and not just being served and entertained and again if that is biblical hospitality, then we can't say we're too tired or too busy or just don't have enough money to buy the right foods. Hospitality is this expression of love. Use hospitality one to another. Peter's commanded these believers that they show this hospitality. You know, all of these one another's and so many others that we could look at, and even some of them spoken in the negative of things not to do one to another. And listen, God has family rules. God has family rules and God has expectations from us. And again, none of us are going to be perfect. And even as I preach about loving one another, I realize how far I fall short of the instructions that we read in the Word of God. And none of us are going to be perfect at it. But yet we see that is God's plan and God's purpose. And we strive to please Him, to show His love. As children of God, we're commanded to living these one another's in every aspect of our lives. You know, all the different commands that we looked at, some of them comforting, some of them corrective, some of them action, some of them attitudes, and understand that we need God, the Spirit of God, to lead us to know exactly what to say and in what circumstances, and with the wisdom and patience that we need and in order to carry these commands out in an appropriate time and an appropriate manner. But listen, I believe that God can help us. If we will humble ourselves, these one another's can become who we are, and the rules that we as God's children live by. Oh, listen, through these one another's, these family rules, God can minister His grace to us through His children. And God can use us to minister grace through us to His children. May God help us to minister one to another. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes.